My name is Linda Schack, and I'm from Prevention Institute, which is a national nonprofit located in Oakland, California, that was established to improve community health and well-being by building momentum for primary prevention of public health issues. So before I get started, I want to see a show of hands from people who have played a role in working to influence local policy to improve healthy eating and activity, and that can be anything from calling your local elected official to single-handedly getting a policy passed in your community. Oh, look at this. I can just sit right down because we've got a lot of policy people in the audience. That's great. Today I'm going to be talking about our Environmental, Nutrition, and Activity Local Policy Database, which was designed to help public health professionals, advocates, policymakers, and others really learn from what's already being done across the country to influence nutrition and activity policy. But before I get started, I wanted to talk a little bit about the food and activity environments in which we live. So starting here, we're going to start with this image from The Lonely Planet, which is a wonderful book which chronicles families from across the globe and what they eat in 1 week's time. I said Lonely Planet, The Hungry Planet. Lonely Planet's great if you want to go traveling. As you can see, this family of 10 from Ecuador really has a diet rich in fruits and vegetables, whole grains, and is a stark contrast to the family from Napa Valley, California, in which we can see their diet consists of a range of highly processed foods. And when our supermarkets are overflowing with highly processed foods, it is unreasonable to expect that people will change their behavior easily when there are so many forces in the social, cultural, and physical environment that conspire against such change. So supermarkets and what food is available is one issue, but it's important to note that not all communities are created equally. And in fact, that family that we just looked at from Napa Valley, California, is in many cases a best case scenario, right? They have a supermarket in their community. They have a full table full of lots of different products. And when we think about health disparities, we often think about disparities in medical services. But it's important to also consider disparities in the community disparities. For instance, the disparities of what's sold and how it's promoted. And I think a great example of this is the landmark study in 2002 by Moreland and colleagues that really identified what community residents have known for years. In this study, for instance, they found that there were three times as many supermarkets in high-wealth neighborhoods compared to low-wealth neighborhoods, while at the same time, there were three times less likely to have alcohol venues such as bars and taverns in high-wealth neighborhoods compared to low-wealth neighborhoods. So what's sold and how it's promoted is just one example of an element in the community that can really work to either promote or to detract from health. And at Prevention Institute, we have a tool called THRIVE, which stands for Tool for Health and Resilience in Vulnerable Environments, that outlines 13 factors that can really help to address health disparities at the community level. And when we look at place, many of these in particular relate to what we're talking about when we talk today about healthy eating and physical activity. Not only what's sold and how it's promoted, but looks, feel, and safety, parks and open space, getting around, housing, air, water, soil, arts and culture, all can contribute to whether or not people are able to eat healthy and be active in their communities. So which brings us to policy. And I think it's important to note that useful policy is often developed locally, because often when we think of policy, we think that's something that happens in Washington, D.C., or it's something that happens in our state capital. But really, working locally to influence policy is an opportunity to tailor the needs of our own communities, to develop policy that really tailors is tailored to our own community. And also, as we've learned from other public health examples like tobacco control and motorcycle helmet safety, it was often one community that started out passing a policy, and other communities followed suit until that bubbled up and influenced larger scale policy. And at the same time, policymaking at the local level is often undervalued and misunderstood, yet is the central role of the city, town, and county legislative bodies. So that is why we developed the Environmental Nutrition and Activity Local Policy Database. And what we did was really took an example from tobacco control. This is what tobacco control did when they began to see policies passed at the local level, as they advocates created a database to really house those policies so that others could really learn from that and take what was already happening and tailor it to the needs of their own communities. And now we see a much greater movement and momentum happening in tobacco control, and we really want to help to spur and support that in nutrition and activity. I will mention that the Enact Local Policy Database is the sister to our original online Enact tool, which is developed to help groups interested in implementation and planning of local level environmental change around healthy eating and physical activity. So I invite you to visit that tool on our website. But here's the homepage of the local policy database, and I apologize for those of you in the back, it's a little hard to see. But if you'll see on the left-hand side, there's a search bar where you can either do a very general search or a more specific search, which will bring you to once you've done the search, will bring you to a list of policies in the area in which you search. And if you're to click on one of the policies, it leads you to a policy profile page, which provides you with some basic information about the policy, a brief description. When available, we've also, if you were to scroll down, you'd see there's a contact person that you could contact for more information. It's someone who is involved in the planning or implementation. We link to the actual policy language, so you really can just take the language, maybe change a few words or change a couple paragraphs and see if that policy might make sense to your own community. And lastly, we've also included implications for health, because some of these policies, it's very clear what the health implications are, but I should also mention that we're thinking very broadly about policies that influence healthy eating and activity. And some of these policies were not created with health in mind. So we really wanted to help people. If you wanted to take this to your local elected official or your coalition that you work with, we really wanted to help people make the case for why this influences healthy eating and physical activity. So I'm going to go through a few examples, starting with an example from my hometown of Oakland, California, implementing complete streets. And this is, we have many examples of bicycle plans, pedestrian plans that really are working to ensure that streets are not just designed for cars, that they're also designed to really promote uses by pedestrians and bicyclists as well, and to contribute to both traffic safety and community safety more generally as well. Also promoting healthy eating and physical activity in children's environments. Often when we think about children's environments and nutrition and activity, we think of schools. And there's a lot of great work going on in schools, and certainly we have those examples in the database. But I also wanted to share this example from New York City, in which the Board of Health worked to amend the health code to create stricter guidelines for nutrition, organized physical activity, and television viewing in all private and public daycare facilities. So really a phenomenal opportunity. You know, they're already monitoring what's happening in those facilities, but to integrate some protocol around nutrition and activity in the existing code. Also promoting local and sustainable food. This example is a great example from Woodbury County, Iowa. There are actually two policy examples, and a great example because these represent policies that were not created with health in mind in particular. The policies we have on our database are, number one, they have an ordinance that provides a property tax break to landowners who convert their farmland to organic farming, and then a follow-up policy established that food bought by the county must be organically produced and processed within 100-mile radius when possible. And this actually, the policies were really created from a rural economic development standpoint to really promote local and more sustainable food within the county. But when communities have access to local and organic food, and when cities create more of a demand for those products, that certainly can influence healthy eating. Promoting joint use of recreational facilities is something that we're seeing a lot of interest from in communities. Particularly in disadvantaged communities, oftentimes the only recreational facilities within a community are the schools. And what happens at 3 o'clock? The schools close. They lock their doors, and children can't use the facilities. Other community residents can't use the facilities. So more and more schools and cities and parks and rec departments are looking to enter into agreements in which they share the liability for those facilities so that the city takes on the liability outside of school hours, or that they also share responsibility for putting towards resources for the development and maintenance of existing and new facilities. Zoning and planning is a particular interest for groups that are interested in ensuring that there are healthy food retail establishments available in their area, particularly grocery stores. And this is a fantastic example, really creative, from Chicago, Illinois. Restrictive land use covenants are industry practiced by supermarkets. When they settle in an area, they enter into these land use covenants that restricts new retail from coming and settling into that area, even if the supermarket were to leave. So in this example, in Chicago, Illinois, there was a grocery store that left the community. There was no longer any large healthy retail establishments left in the community, yet because of these land use covenants, another grocery store was not able to settle in that area, virtually creating a food desert. And so the Chicago alderman wanted to prevent this from happening in other communities and passed an ordinance to limit those when it came to grocery stores and other food retail establishments so that that would not be the case in other Chicago communities. And lastly, there's also policies in our database around limiting unhealthy retail establishments. Some people may have heard recently a lot of buzz around Los Angeles, California, and the interest in putting a moratorium on fast food. While this is just sort of beginning to be an opportunity explored from a health perspective, this is actually something that other communities have done, but more from a perspective of preserving the small town feel of a community, or really promoting local businesses by preventing too many retails, larger chain retails from coming in. And so we have many formula retail restaurant restrictions on our database that, as I said, were not created with health in mind, but can certainly be used if you're thinking about how to limit unhealthy food retail in your communities. So this really just provides a snapshot or a really sneak preview of the 100-plus policies on our database right now. And I invite you to visit the database for ideas, but also to submit your policy successes to us so that we can share them on the database. Because as David Brower said, don't expect politicians, even good ones, to do your job for you. Politicians are like weather vanes, and our job is to make the wind blow. And to really continue to build on all this exciting work already happening in nutrition and activity, we really need to work together to make the wind blow. So with that, I invite you to visit our local policy database as well as our other tools and resources that we have available for free on our website. So when you get back to your offices, please feel free to visit those. If you can't even wait till you get back to your office to learn more, you can go to the APHA Exhibition Hall and buy our new textbook, Prevention is Primary, which we co-edited with Vivian Chavez. We have several chapters that might be of particular interest to this group, but it's really it's a great book, and it's available at APHA's PubMart as well as the Josie Bass booth. We have a chapter on local Policy by Makani Themba Nixon, a policy on the chapter on the built environment by Howard Frumkin and Andrew Dannenberg, and a policy on healthy food environments by Leslie Mickelson, Catherine Erickson, and Marian Nessel. So thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the conference.